We're continuing on page Kuf Tzadi Dalet in the Sefer Bovavi. We're in the middle in the section that's called Adinus Nefesh Kli Lahasogas Hayira. So the Tzadik was mentioning how difficult it is nowadays to have Yira, to have any kind of fear at all, because we lack another attribute that we discussed a lot yesterday called Edelkeit, having a very spiritually delicate and sensitive nature, which we spend a lot of time explaining what that means. And what happens out of that, a person's boldness can bring certain levels of chutzpah, a rejection of authority, and rejection of authority is the exact opposite of what yira is, exact opposite of what the concept of fear is. And therefore, we live in a society that just doesn't have this Edelkeit. And therefore, he says, at the end, it would be easier to have Ava than it is Yira, but still Yira is a very important tool that's necessary. So he continues, and now he's going to give us some actual ideas that we can work with and practical suggestions on how to develop what he calls an Adinus HaNefesh, a sensitivity of soul. which is the tool to reach the fear that we need. So he says like this: Etzem kinyan midas hayira kashu admo. The actual acquisition of the attribute of fear is very difficult to attain. Kichol she'adam nasa zach yoser. The more that the person becomes spiritually refined, adin yoser, more delicate, ubal nefesh margisha, and a more sensitive soul, to the degree that you increase that, miskala ba yoser nekuda sayira, it's revealed more and more inside of that person the point of fear, which is also nekudas hashiflus, the point of humility. What do I mean by humility? It means a personality where a person knows one's place, a reserved type of person that has a natural sense of humility. And this doesn't, necessarily mean, because he was born an introvert. That's not what it means. It means you know your place, and you sit back and you, as he'll explain shortly, you nullify yourself before Hashem. It takes a great degree of sensitivity for that. Mitzad echad, now here's the problem. On the one hand, Yeshna Bechina Shel Yir Yisrael Azin Sheba Umos. On the one hand, there's the Gemara in Beitza that says that the Yisrael, the Jewish people, are the boldest of all the nations. Yesh Bahem Azus Dekdusha. We have a boldness in holiness. And therefore, we're not afraid to display our Jewishness when necessary. We're not afraid to go up against our enemies, and we'll have a tremendous chutzpah against our enemies, which is good. We're supposed to have that. Aval yachad im zos kayemus behem gam shiflus pnimis hanamechas haruach. And together with that should be maintained also an inner sense of lowliness, of humility, which lowers down the spirit. And that's what there's, it's kind of a contradiction. It's a tough thing to hold on to. On the one hand, we have to have Azus. On the other hand, we have to have this humility. We have to have this inner sense of humility. So it's very hard to balance this. And quite often, the Azus, the boldness, comes out much more than the humility. So it's a hard recipe to put together, to be able to put into one place the boldness and the brazenness and the brashness where necessary, and on the other hand, to be able to have this inner sense of humility and refinement of soul. That's the problem. And hanmochas ruach zu hi mishoresh hayira. And this lowering of soul, as it were, this humility of soul, is the root of fear. Kechol she'adam yoser gam hu tzoek yoser. To the degree that a person screams more, midaber bakol ram, speaks in a loud voice, veloba misinus, and not deliberately, umemela hu rachok min hayira, and therefore he's very, very far away from fear because he's not displaying this sensitivity of soul. So, That's the problem. Everywhere you go, that's where it is. You know, using certain words, you know. Listen, it's hard to help it. Whoever the role models are in this world, they're the ones who do this. Right? Used to be, when I was a kid, you know, a guy got a touchdown, you know, in any level of football. He got the touchdown, he crossed the ends, and he dropped the ball. You know, he let it down. You know, gave it to the referee. Now, this is the cause celebre to become a jazz dancer and to do all kinds of things to even, you know, even to the point of mooning under certain ways. Crazy things. Used to be when you played basketball, you know, okay, you dunked the ball. Because you were tall, you dunked the ball. Now it's a whole artistic geschäft, you know, how you do it and this and that. It's incredible, right? So even the simple, it's like I'm going to show everybody how amazing I am, right? In every other way, you know, certain types of words that are being used are really not appropriate words to be used. You know, and it comes down even, you know, when a guy gets an aliyah, you know, and people go psh, you know, going psh, you know, that means you're not edel. You're not edel. You're not refined. A refined person doesn't go psh. You know, it belongs in a beer hall. You know, when somebody's able to out hand wrestle, go psh. You know, it passes for that. Doesn't pass in a base medrash. Where there's a sefer Torah, and the guys call up to Aliyah, you call up, psh, you know. So that's you know, and what is it? People that's if a goy was here, that's the least he would do. So it has to be reflected in the yidden who live with the goyim, and really, like that's it just doesn't exist. These things shouldn't exist. You know, they have nowadays. You hear on the news this idea of low-rise pants to have your pants as low under your waist as possible, in order to show what kind of underwear you have, in order to show certain cracks within the physical body, especially when you bend over. It's, you know, and it's incredible what's going on, right? It's a sight not to see, you know. It's a sight not to see, you know. And so this is what's out there. This is what's out there. That's what I'm told. That's what's out there. I don't know if they allow this in high schools. Sid, you can tell us if that's allowed or not. What? Whatever they want to do. Just about. As long as you have something that's called clothes. Right? So, it all is, now how are people who act like that, how's a guy, you know, it goes, psh, how's it going to have Yira before Hashem? You know, he's going to think, oh, he's going to start thinking of the Almighty, go psh, to the Almighty. Right? It's how can he have an Yira? It's just not there. You know, it's like certain things, like it upset me greatly, and if, you know, if God forbid I reprimand someone for doing that, the rabbi's not sensitive. You know, rabbi's not sensitive. Why did you tell me to stop? Why tell me to stop? Well, who's the not sensitive one? Right, it's like when I see this, like so automatically repulsive, you know. I don't have yet the art. I'm not that good of a poker face, unfortunately, you know. And when it has no place at all, people get so there's a reaction. Oh, you're not allowed to react. I'll react. It's incredible what we have to deal with in this whole world, the whole thing, the whole nine yards, where it's just not there wherever you go. So therefore, it's the way you talk, it's the words you say, it's you always have to have what to say. It's always, you know, your way, you know, it has to be the way. That's not the way a Yiddish soul is supposed to act. So now, what do we have to do? So l'chein, therefore, kedei liknas es hayira, in order to acquire such yira, reishis yesh lahargil es hanefesh liyo shvei lematzma. The first thing is to accustom the person that his soul should be humble within himself. Lo lihios adam gas, not to be a coarse and unrefined person. Leos Adam Dak, to be a refined and sensitive person. And what are the types of behaviors that accomplish that? It's one word. Doing everything benachas. Benachas, it's a hard word to translate. Deliberately, softly. In other words, lechol benachas, to eat benachas. To eat deliberately. You know, the food's in front of you. How do you attack the food? You know, is it, you know, just constant shoveling and you're eating nonstop, right? So that's a coarse way of eating. Benachas, eat slowly, deliberately. You chew your food 32 times before you swallow it. You know, it's all, you know, look how a lion attacks and eats what it eats, and look how a human, is there much difference? Right? A lion doesn't have a neshama tahira, right? You know, the whole idea of the fast food. Fast food, it's the sophisticated way of a lion pouncing on its prey. I'm hungry, I have to eat now. You know, the kids come from school that way. I'm starving, I could eat a horse. You know, it's these lashinas. I could eat a horse. So you're a lion. If you could eat, who could eat a horse besides a lion? I don't know who else eats horses. You know, it's a lion. I don't know. So you're a lion too. Right? And the fact that, you know, to be a husband who's grumpy before he has his meal. Before he has his meal, he's grumpy, and the wife knows the food better be on the table before anything happens or I'm in trouble. You know? Okay, so if you know you have such a coarse husband, then Nebuch, that's what you have to do. Right? But it's like, wait, you're starving, and you watch younger kids, the way to, you know, you have to have it. So a parent's job is to slow the kids down. You know, it's more than what they're eating. You know, it's how they're eating it. A parent has to be very careful. Now, of course, if the parent is hoarding it down, the kids have wonderful role models to follow. So the way you eat is a very clear indicator. You know, lishtois benachas, drinking in a delicate way. You know, it's not this idea where, and Chazal have halachas about that, right? When you're drinking, it says, when you're drinking the cup of Kiddush, it should be, you know, two or three zips, as opposed to just having it in one shot. You know, the idea of taking a glass and going, go, 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 right? Downing something, chug-a-lugging, right? I think that's the nusach, chug-a-lug. And, you know, a big thing, and you have to, you know, you do it, and that's how you drink, and people are cheering you on. Chug, 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 right? And so that's not refined. Now, you're going to say, where in the Shulchan Aruch says you can't do this? You know, I mean, you know, is it not fair? Where in the Torah does it say you can't do it? It can't, but if you're not refined, you'll never fear Hashem. If you don't fear Hashem, you'll do every avera in the book when the time comes. Right? That's the issue over here. It's even the drinking. I mean, the fact that people have to drink a lot of whiskey. You know, that's not benachas, you know. See, certain things you'll see, you know, like the English, there were certain things that, are very proper, you know, even in terms of Torah. Even though in general they're not proper at all, those people. But certain things you can learn, like this idea of drinking tea. You know, the whole idea of drinking hot tea, you know, and our grandparents all drank hot tea, and many even our parents if they're Holocaust survivors, right? The whole idea of hot tea is a gewaltig zach. You can't drink it fast. And that's a very important musik. You know, today it's cold drinks, soft drinks, cold drinks, right? See, the only thing soft about the soft drink is that it's liquidy. You know, it develops coarseness within the person. You know, you could drink a cold Pepsi Cola. If you look at all the pictures, someone with a big schwitz is a big Coke, and then, you know, right to his mouth. His mouth is affixed to the bottle. Right? These are sensitivities. These are sensitivities. It's hard, you know, to get. And we all, you know, everybody's got to deal with it. You know, do you drink out of a can or drink out of a glass? You know, well, what do you want? I was driving and all I had was I went to the gas station, and as it says, you're on the run. So you're on the run. I don't know why you have to be on the run. But you are. They said you're on the run. You're on the run. So you order the Coke and you drink it right out of the can. Okay, is it osur in the Torah? It's not osur. But it's a certain refinement that slows you down. You know, you pour it into a glass. And that's the way you're supposed to, drink. Out of a glass. That's what you're supposed to do. But where am I going to find a glass from? So think about it. You know, the idea of, you know, eating in the street. Think of that already is in the Shulchan Aruch. If you eat in the street, you're not allowed to testify in a Jewish court of law. Because you have no sense of self-esteem. You know, so those ideas of how you eat, how you drink, the b'chlal, the idea of drinking during the week, b'chlal, it's like, the Pizzeser Rebbe says, okay, there's a chevra gets together and you're singing zmiros and you're having, a spiritual get together and you have one l'chaim, one. That's it. Shakol ni'avid v'ro, and this, he was talking to people in Europe who mamish had nothing. I mean, they had nothing. You lived in a rundown apartment with 27 people in the house. You had nothing. And if you ate a piece of meat, it was like a yontif. Okay, so mamish, they had nothing, and it was decrepit conditions. You have to realize when. And when you turned your shoulder, there was another pogrom killing half your family. So you know what? You weren't drunks, by the way. One glass of schnapps, it's a little something to pick up your spirit a little bit. Vizehu, I'm sure it was the yidden who invented the shot glass. You can research it, I could be wrong, but a goyish cup would never do such a thing. A goy would never think of that little. it's just not possible. I don't know how you can do research on this. I don't know. Maybe you could find anything now in the computer. Shot glasses. Or it has to be Yiddish Zach. I'm telling you, it has to be Yiddish Zach. That's how much you drink. One shot, vizehu, and that's how much you get to it. Right? So drinking deliberately, ledaber benachas, to conduct one affairs deliberate, to speak deliberately, slowly, thought out, not the first thing that comes to your mind, you blurt it out. Ulis naig benachas, and to conduct yourself and to comport yourself in a way with nachas. Right? You gotta just slow it all down and cut the level down. Hahis nagus benachas. If you can behave in a way with this nachas, This slowing down with this deliberation, that is what is molida benefesh es hashaktus. It spawns within the soul a level of tranquility, really from the word, silence, sheket, but like tranquility. Es heder hahispartzus hachutza. It will bring out a covering up of the unbridled expressions of the more coarse human being. And therefore, the person will become a more refined person. So there is a concept, to these, what do you call it? What do they call those schools that teach you how to be a mensch? What? No. Etiquette. There is, a certain degree to etiquette, a certain degree. Although I don't think it makes a difference if the fork is on the left or the right side, mamish makes no difference. My kids ask me, where should I put the fork? I say, wherever you want. No, there's got to be a way. I said, there's no way. There's no way. Where in the Torah does it say the fork has to be on the left side?
That's part of the whole thing of being refined.
No. But it has nothing to do with being refined. It's on the left, on the right, macht nicht
dois.
It doesn't matter. So it's, that has nothing to do with refined. Doesn't matter. As long as it's next to your plate.
Somebody's convention.
It's next to your plate. It's not thrown all over the place. But if it's on the left or the right, so it's going to make a difference?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. No. It's going to make you. Okay, how you behave at the table. If the fork is on the right, it will not make any difference how you're going to behave. It's not going to make any difference how you're going to behave. Or if it's on the left. Or if the kid put the spoon to the left of the knife or to the right of the knife. These are all. Don't waste your spiritual brain cells on this.
It teaches you exactly the same in school when you get up when the teacher walks in.
That is totally different. It's totally different. totally different.
Teaches you.
I'm saying you shouldn't have 50 forks in the middle of the table and everybody's grabbing for a fork. But if the fork is next to you, it's next to the plate, it's set up in order. Who says the order has to be? Chazal say you have to put your right shoe on before your left shoe. Chazal say that. But that's Chazal. That's Chazal. It's not Emily Post. Emily Post has no Masora from Sinai that I checked. I don't care. It's not important. But certain things is where you take it beyond necessary. Beyond necessary. You know, this new idea, you put chargers under your plate. I never heard of such a Zach. Well, they take a big plate and it goes under your regular plate. First time I saw this, we're doing a Shev Brachas in our house. It was a Shev Brachas, Bar Mitzvah, I don't remember. So there was a guest came to help place. Anyway, so she brings a big 20 of these big round things. I said, what's this? We need such big plates to eat off. He says, no, they're chargers. I said, what's this? He says, well, you put it underneath and then you put everything on top. I didn't say anything. I just turned to my wife and I said, this is a mishigas. I said to my wife, this will never be in our house. You know, it's like, I said to my wife, I don't understand. I understand why they make chargers, because the guys who make them will make money.
They charge for them.
That's, you know, I'm saying, it's like, you know, because, you know, they probably cost a lot of money. They're like metallic. They're huge, you know. It's like, I don't understand, and I won't know what to, you know, but, I said, innocently, what do they do? Like, what do they accomplish? She says, well, that's the way it's supposed to look. So I said to my, thank you very much. You know, you're an idiot too. Okay. I didn't say to her, I said in my mind.
But it's decoration.
Okay, you know what? It's stupid. It's stupid.
No,
and that's all there is. Our ancestors never had it. And we don't need it. It's a way for a guy to make money. Then you have more. It's really stupid. You don't have enough dishes to clean. When you know, and with those, they don't even fit into the dishwasher. So you got a sense of, what do you need it for? For starfish. It's another statement. It's a fashion statement that you're a moron. That's what it is. But you're a moron. Whatever anybody tells you to do, you do it. That's all. Whenever anybody tells you to do it, you do it. Now, of course, we have to have plates. You have to have a plate, not as a fashion statement, to eat like a mensch. You have a plate. You don't eat on a table. Right? You have to have a whole thing on top and a thing over there.
I think you're splitting hairs here. Like to me, the idea, if someone just did it and just threw things on the table, or it went on the table, they didn't throw it on, but they didn't put it in any kind of order, that's the edelkite that you're talking about.
Okay, there's a degree of edelkite, and then there's the extreme.
Well, then
it's beyond what's necessary. So what is necessary, that's what should be done. What goes beyond necessary, that's what does not need to get done. Okay? And you don't realize you get sucked in whatever people say and a couple morons do it, then the rest of the morons follow. And that's the way life is. And that's what all the business is based on. It's all about, you right?
It was
necessary to be used. You have a Kiddush cup. Fine. It's a mitzvah to make Kiddush. It's a mitzvah to use a Kiddush cup. You're doing it lekavod. Right? Lekavod, but I'm drinking with it, chotch. Right? Here, it's here and I don't do anything with it. You have to be able to separate what is part of the mitzvah and what's an elaborated thing that's part of just being sophisticated to be sophisticated. There's a concept of being sophisticated for another purpose to show that you're sophisticated. And there's a coarseness in that. There's a coarseness in that. It's called excess. You heard the word? Excess? Right? It could be excess and sophistication. Excess, even in edelkite, isn't edel. You have to know where to draw the line, even in edelkite. You have to know where to draw the line. You know? You're taking good money and spending on a thing that you don't need. It's like, mamish, you don't need it. That's the difference. Don't get me going on this, man. You know? Nowhere in Chazal, nor in Shulchan Aruch, does it talk about centerpieces. Nowhere. To talk about centerpiece. It would have been brought down in Hilchus Pesach. And how to elaborate the table, you know, they'd say you put down centerpiece. This is a mishigasha in kamo.
Where does it talk about ties?
That's fine. You don't have to wear ties.
Exactly the same thing. Ties are a fashion statement.
No. The tie is... okay, fine. Good. Totally not functional. Good.
But what do they say about a person? For some people, they say that this guy is edel, that he respects how he looks. But on another level, you could just say, well, but it's moronic, because why do you have to have... why does it have to be a certain width as opposed to not be... Why are your ties...
You know what? My tie... I'll tell you the rule of my ties. Whatever my wife tells me to wear, that's what I wear. That's the rule. That's the Shalom Bias rule. She wants me to wear this tie, I wear this tie. I couldn't care less.
Why does she want that?
You know what? That's not my problem right now. I got enough problems to deal with. Okay? Got enough problems to deal with. I couldn't care less. I wear the same black suit. Nobody else wears a black suit. I wear a black suit. I don't care. I don't make fashion statements. Chassidim don't wear ties. They bedafka don't wear ties. Because they hold the tie you shouldn't wear. They hold you shouldn't wear the tie. You know? Right. What? They say you're separating the mind from the heart. Okay. You know. But there's certain things that are, you know, have been done for hundreds of years, you know, and there's certain things that are just, you know, it's just pure mishigas. It's just pure mishigas. You have to know where to separate. That's where you have to look at Rabbeim. You have to look at a Mesorah. You have to say how did Gedolim act? And they have that sensitivity to know what is the proper thing to wear, what's not the proper thing to wear. Believe me, my Rosh Yeshivas were never making fashion statements. And they were never just following the crowd, right? My Rosh Yeshivas all wore ties, and this is Masorto. You wear a tie. And that's the way a presentable person lives and acts, right? They never had chargers, and they never will have chargers, right? And you have to know where to draw the line. And you have to ask Shilas to know what is appropriate and what's not appropriate. That's what you have to look at as to how that is. Okay. You know what it is? It's all a sensitivity. It's all a sensitivity. How are you going to learn? Where are you going to learn them from? We're going to learn it from. Going to learn it from what the Goyim tell you to do? Or you look at how your Rosh Yeshivas conduct themselves, how they dress, how they have a table. You know, I ate at Rosh Yeshivas tables. No centerpieces around the table. You know? And it was plain and simple. You know, I mean, it was Shabbos-tick of things. It asked me to have a Shabbos-tick of thing to honor the Shabbos. But the point, it gets beyond. The point gets beyond. And that's where you get these gargantuan simchas. You know, people say, well, you know, you have to show in honor of the chassan and kala. You know, and the bottom line, it comes out money. When it starts becoming, you know, cash flow becomes tighter because of that, then you know there's a problem there. Right? What's a tie costing rate? I'm not saying buy $50 ties. I never. You think if Milton didn't give me these ties, think I would wear these ties? Okay, it gives Milton the nachas ruach that I wear a tie from him, so I'll give him nachas ruach. It's not true. I couldn't care. I would wear a regular, boring black tie. I'm interested. You know what? The fact of the matter is, I wear the same stupid tie all day, week long. Most guys would change ties. What are you talking? On Monday I have one tie, Tuesday I have another. Here's the tie. I even keep the tie in the loop. I don't even make the tie. And I just put it on. I don't know why guys undo their ties. I never understand that. Such a bittles man. But, well. There's flowers is one. Even flowers, you know, it's brought down on Shavuos. But it's the idea of a centerpiece. It's a center. Now, hear the word, centerpiece. Listen to what it's called. That is the focal point, the centerpiece. You don't have to have center. You want to have flowers somewhere else. But the table isn't a table without the flowers. Those flowers are so obnoxious, you can't even see a person across the table with those flowers over there. You always take the flower off the table anyway because you can't see anybody talk to anybody. Right? It's just another, the whole idea is how do I show off, how do I this, how do that, and there has to be a sensitivity to it. So okay, you know, some people if they're doing, they make it very modest, et cetera, but it's just spending more time doing things that are not necessary. You're making a Sheva Brachas. Festive. If the table is set nice, it's festive already. So now, Atkan festivities. No, we have to go get flowers, put one on every table. You have to schlep the flowers from the chasana and put it in your trunk and schlep it here and schlep it there and be careful for the flower and this and that, because you have to take it to this shavuot brachas, then to that shavuot brachas. You're wasting your life. There's more. If that's what's preoccupying your mind, it means there's not enough important things on your mind. Working on your avodas Hashem, you know, being sensitive to other people, you know. We're shifting, you know, this adinus in the wrong places. We're not saying, you know, you just do nothing. Okay, Rabbi, what are you saying? We should just eat on a broken table? No, there has to be a certain degree of covet for the Shabbos. And you have to measure it in a modest way. And that's the Indian. If you're doing something and it's only l'kavod Shabbos is one thing, but then when it becomes other areas, it's not just kavod Shabbos anymore. It's kavod atzmi. It's my own kavod. You have to have a sensitivity to know where and when. But nobody asked. If you see everybody else is doing, you do it too. You know, and then everything proliferates. Everything proliferates, and it gets out of hand. Anyway. So that's, you know, okay, because I have to say something you guys don't like once in a while. All right, keep everybody awake. All right, but it's, you know, it's like, it gets to the point. It's the point where that's already beyond. You know, you want to have a nice plate. Fine, you have a set of Shabbos dishes. It's a covered Shabbos kodesh. Very nice. You want to have, you know, even, you know, like, I don't know, is the napkin not going to work if it's not in a ring? You know, if it's not in a ring, like I say, you have to have a napkin holder because the napkin needs covered. You put the napkin on the side. What's wrong with the napkin? It's on the nice folded in half with the forks on top, and it looks not. No, it's got a ring that has to go in it. You know, because you realize if you have this, there's someone who'll make a living just making rings. Do you understand? Do you understand? Can you imagine how many millions of dollars are spent on a ring that has nothing to do with how you eat this meal?
Isn't that a chesed for people to make the ring?
No, they should make something that's productive in the world. Right? That's the problem. People have too many jobs, so they don't do anything that's productive for the world. So you know what it is? Marba nechasim, marba daigus. The more nechasim you have, the more daigus. And you see, when you have the rings, and there's eight guests, you only have seven rings, it's mamish. Whoa. Whoa. The wife goes nuts. I don't know how we're going to serve this meal. We're missing a ring. That's where the point it gets to. You know, and you can see it in people. And you wonder why people making simchas in the house are stressed out. Because you're stressing yourself out. Just serve the food, ma'am.
No, we're getting stressed over making sure we have enough food.
No. Okay, you know, it's like all these ridiculous things. You don't have to have chargers. You don't have, look at all the things that are the add-ons to make this simcha complete. And that's why people can't do enough chesed, because they're too busy with the side things that have nothing to do with the chesed, right? Which would be more to focus on the self-refinement would be a lot better than refining the table. Right? Yes, Shelley, go ahead. Let's have the final comment. From the curmudgeon at large.
Charges.
Go ahead.
I've never heard of these charges. I agree with the rabbi saying on the charges. I said, what's the difference between wearing a tie and putting the charger on
You know, all I can say is if all my rabbeim said to wear a tie, then that's the proper way to conduct yourself. Those tzaddikim, they are the trend. You know, we have trendsetters. You know who they are? They are Rosh Hashivas and our Gedolim. They're the trendsetters.
So if they had chargers,
they wouldn't. I'm telling you, they wouldn't have these things.
But they
understand with their delicateness of soul. They understand. That's why you have rabbeim. You know, you have it in halacha too. You know, I don't want to get involved in this. You know, you have in halacha, you know, umbrellas on Shabbos. If you really go through the halachas properly, it's very hard to find a rock solid place to say it's usher on Shabbos. If you go through it properly, okay, it really isn't building a structure and all these things. But the final line is all the rabbis say, all of them say, you can't. You know why? Because that's not what Shabbos is all about. And you know what? That's what their Das Torah says. They have a delicateness of halachic soul. And they say, you know what? It's not Shabbos if you're going around like that. And that's the bottom line. Vizel, they understand how you have to comport yourself to make Shabbos your Shabbos. That's why, if you notice, I never mentioned once, you know, not to take an umbrella to shul. Because, you know, I have enough battles I have to fight, you know, for people to keep Torah. That's not one I have to do. You know, especially with new people, they b'chalal can't understand it. You know, new people, once a person's keeping Shabbos, and they stop driving, and they this, okay, they already know everything's crazy, so they'll do another crazy thing. You know, they're agreeable to the crazy things. They'll see people don't have it. Because it's not really, it's not like mamish and yisra d'oraisa, and it's one of these, it's d'rabbanan usher, but like soft d'rabbanan. You understand? So it's like, so that there's a sensitivity in halacha too. What, we don't do it. That's it. It's not Shabbos. It's not Shabbos. If you're going to go to shul holding an umbrella for 20 minutes in the rain, it's not Shabbos. That's not the way a person walks on Shabbos. Your walking on Shabbos is different, right? You're allowed to run on Shabbos? No. Not allowed to run on Shabbos. Right? So part of the way you walk on Shabbos, you don't walk like this on Shabbos. You understand? You don't walk like this on Shabbos. Even if there was no umbrella, you can imagine people walking like this. It has a weekday look. You understand? So, you know what? There's a sensitivity. And you think if I'm going to have an umbrella, I'm going to be Michal Shabbos? You know, at the end of the day, you will. At the end, not on that, but on something else you will. So there's a sensitivity. They understand the fact you have a tie. The tie is on your body. The tie, you know, makes you feel more, what's the word? More inhibited. Okay? You're closing up the top. If you have the tie, you can't eat like a slop. Can't eat like a slop. You know, why did the Napoleon have those, what do you call them? The epaulette, what would it be? No, the buttons. Yeah, it was a word, a fancy word for it. Why did he put, when did buttons come onto soldiers' uniforms? It was Napoleon. Why? Because he saw the soldiers when they had runny nose go like this. And it doesn't pass for a soldier to have runny nose all over his sleeve. So they put the buttons here. If you do it, you're going to smack your nose. So they stopped. Right? That's what we did it for. It makes sense. It makes sense. It's not so it should be fancy, although it looks fancy. We didn't do it to make it look fancy. It's, you know, I shouldn't do that. So, you know, if you wear a tie, you comport yourself differently. You do. You see it in people. If you wear a tie, you know, if you're out the tie, I'm not saying people don't wear ties are bad people. It's not that. You know, we live in a world where nobody wears a tie, right? But I'm saying, you know, the fact, you know, I gotta be comfortable, I gotta be this, you know, it's all part of, you know, being comfortable. You know, there's an idea is you're in Hashem's presence. How would you speak to Hashem? How would you speak to an important, he asked me, Taka. Yaakov sent me an email. Yaakov's such a sweet boy. So, Scutaro, right? So he's sending me all his shilas while he's in the yeshiva there. And the yeshiva there, they're giving him all this yeshiva shtick, you know, this mesorah of shtick. You know, he's there wearing a tie and they're telling him not to wear a tie. I said, what kind of yeshiva are you in? They tell him, he's wearing the tie. They're afraid he's getting too frumed out. You know, he said, should I take that? I said, what are you taking the tie for? That's the way you're supposed to go. I remember my yeshiva gave two shmoozes on wearing a tie. How important it is to wear a tie. Okay, you're in a Baal Tshuva yeshiva, so who says you have to act like a Baal Tshuva if you want to wear, and he felt he should wear a tie. He saw that I'm wearing a tie, so he wants to wear a tie. But he feels it's covet to Hashem to wear a tie. What? No, I think for the Bachram. They got Baal Tshuvas over there, so you know, they don't want to freak out the Baal Tshuvas and make them all wear ties and this and that. They're going to be super frum and it's not really who they are. But him, he's sincere. He's sincere. So of course, if you wear a tie, you conduct yourself differently if you don't wear a tie. You know? But you know, if there's a charger under the table, it ain't going to make me eat any more as a mensch. There's enough things already there to eat like a mensch, right? You already got the forks there, the knives there, you got the napkin there, you got this there. You're gonna eat like a mensch, right? So that's what I think, you see, is the Yetzer Hara that you have it go too far is also not good. Anyway, let's finish up at least one paragraph today. Okay. Kesha Adam, I got another 3 minutes. Kesha Adam Yoser Dak. When a person is more spiritually sensitive, lahavchin b'dvarim meromim imenu. He can begin to discern things that are greater than him, and that's the important point. If you're more edel, you can appreciate other things that are greater than you. And to relate to them with the proper sensitivity. Let me just explain this point. It's a very important point. When you can do the activities that quiet yourself down. Remember the piece, that's the Rebbe. He keeps talking about the neshama likes quiet. The quieter it is, the more your neshama can come out. That's part of it. So when a person quiets down, guess what happens? You can take note and appreciate something besides yourself. When your mouth is in drive, I always say, when your mouth is in drive, your brain is in park. Right? Better put your mouth in park and your brain in drive. If you quiet down, you'll notice something besides yourself. Okay? And the opposite as well. The louder you are, you can't notice anything besides yourself. Right? And therefore, you can't feel anybody else. And you can't understand how much greater they are than you. Because it's always you. Right? And, you know, and which person really becomes the better spouse, you know, with real relationships? The one that talks more or the one who talks less? I don't mean just stop the amount of talking, but the one who has this edelkeit or the one who doesn't have the edelkeit, right?